From Texas to New York and New York to the UK, tonight we expose rising anti-Semitism and the dangerous emergence of the Mahdi and the Antichrist. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. On the left-hand side of your screen is Mr. David Paxton, all the way from New York. And then, right there in the middle is our special KRRB expert on everything Israel, UK, Europe. Well, Mark, you're kind of like the expert in just about everything all the way around. Mr. Mark Sutherland is joining us all the way from the UK. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I'm well, JD. Thank you for the intro that always embarrasses me, but I will try and live up to those words.
Mark, you always live up to it. You don't worry about that. You always look up to it. One thing I do want to, I didn't ask you guys before we started the show, so I'm not sure who to go to. Who wants to pray us into today's show?
I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to the world. We thank you for the wisdom that you're going to share with us, and we thank you that we can be your ambassadors and do your will and purposes until such time you call us home. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, I don't think it's going to be that long. Guys, I really don't. And, yeah, you know, that's kind of the point of today's show. I'm going to show this.
Hey, you know what's cool, though?
What's that? Go ahead.
Is when this is just another reason we can put in there. But when as ambassadors, which we are ambassadors for Christ, and our kingdom is not of this world, when a king is going to declare war or send punishment on another country, the first thing he does beforehand is bring all his ambassadors home.
That's right.
So as we see the destruction of the Lord coming, just look for him to call us all home.
Amen. Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of ambassadors being called home from different countries right now. But anyway, here's what the kind of the lineup, I guess. Origins of the Mahdi and the Antichrist, signs, miracles, and global deception, the global empire and the enforced worship, and then Jesus Christ, subordinate or supreme? Well, we know the answer to that, but we're going to get more into it today for sure. But the thing that I wanted to start off with, though, is kind of how we get here. You know, I think it's important for people to understand that this has been coming for a while. Okay, so you look at the global overview of anti-Semitism. Here in recent years, you got a disturbing surge in the anti-Israel actions and anti-Semitic rhetoric that has been observed across multiple continents. So tonight we're going to detail a series of incidents and ideological shifts that many conservative Christian leaders, of which we are three anyway, and indeed citizens around the world view as not only politically motivated, but also spiritually significant. Critics argue that these trends reflect a broader rejection of biblical values and the enduring covenant between God and Israel. So over there in Europe, Mark, and you can comment on this one right away, and you know, you've got hostility, incidents and public sentiment, and this goes across European nations. There's been a notable increase in public demonstrations and acts of vandalism targeting symbols of Israel and Jewish heritage in cities like Paris to Berlin. Protests that once focused on policy critiques have sometimes taken a dangerous turn, with overt anti-Semitic slurs and hate symbols displayed on buildings and public spaces, and in some cases, nationalist groups and extremist activists have exploited political dissent to mask deep-seated prejudice and Jewish hate. Now, you're over there in Europe, Mark. Can you comment on that? And I noticed the UK wasn't included in that, but include them as well from your perspective over there.
There was a rabbi in Paris, I think, over the last 7 days that's been hassled, abused twice. There was a very interesting article, I think, in published in France about the Muslim Brotherhood and how it is influencing Europe, which is rather deeply concerning so quickly, the Muslim Brotherhood that started in 1929. And to put it in another context at the moment, J.D., David, Jordan, the Jordanian authorities are, you know, really being cutting down, really being looking into the spread of the Muslim Brotherhood. There are, you know, raising awareness of that, suppressing that. So it's rather ironic that that's going on in Jordan, and where in Europe there is this, you know, complete sort of invasion. And the other thing is that, like, you have got the issue with universities. We have got that issue. We have to follow the money going all the way back to Qatar. Yeah, no, this is extremely, extremely serious, deeply upsetting. We've just had 2 weeks ago was the appalling shooting of that young couple in Washington, D.C. Just making a comment about America. Then the appalling incident in Boulder in Colorado, where, in fact, one of those Jewish people that were attacked with Molotov cocktails, I believe, was a Holocaust survivor. We have had over here, you know, unhelpful comments from Starmer, Macron, and then unhelpful comments from the other idiot, Carney, and then people feeling that that has helped to stoke anti-Semitic feelings politically, hence why these awful actions have gone on. But no, people are being... I am deliberately being very reflective on this, because we have to work at getting this right. But the anti-Semitism, the rise, the thought, absolutely on the streets over here and in Europe, of course, on the rise. We've had nearly, you know, by the time we reached 7th of October this year, nearly 2 years of, you know, at the weekends from the river to the sea, where they can't name what river and they can't name what sea, which is a complete annihilation of Israel. I am profoundly uncomfortable with I find it deeply upsetting, any anti-Semitism, period. And having recently been, I'm not saying it as a name drop, I'm just saying it, but having been to Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, you know, my mind is immediately going there within all that had gone on within Europe. And as a friend of mine said, the Holocaust museums say it's 6 million Jewish people plus that were exterminated in concentration camps. But that's just the record that people can then prove.
That's there a good guess.
There may be beyond that. And it's just the way that everyone became complicit in that. France has a very interesting history, unfortunately, during the Second World War with the Vichy regime and all the rest. But it's on the rise, but it's looking at these articles. This article, as I say, JD, that we've written about the Muslim Brotherhood, I will forward that to you if I haven't already done so. Maybe that's something to put in the show notes. This is what people have got to open their eyes up to, the infiltration. And just quickly, before I go on that, because I'm trying to reflect with what's going on in America, the Israel Guys, which is a fantastic podcast in the States, maybe we need to join up with them, see if we could do an interview with them.
Yeah, it'd be good.
The Israel Guys, who are in Israel, and they're American Christians supportive of Israel, they were about to have a conference in Texas. That conference, they had to move it. It was supposed to be this weekend. As we're recording this, it was supposed to one venue, then cancelled. They move it to another venue because basically the venue are being threatened by, you know, people that don't agree with Israel and all that's been going on since the 7th of October. That fulfills many. So they've now had to cancel that conference, because the bottom line is that the venue would then be responsible if anything happened in regard, and then people taking litigation in that. Now, I'm talking about Texas. This is how bad this has reached in regard to the lawfare and the threat of shutting down debate and also trying to get the truth out there. So I'm reflecting on what's happening in Europe. I'm reflecting on what's happening there. And I'm appalled and disgusted to even say that in the great state of Texas, this kind of thing is going on. And there are far other things that are going on within not too far from you. Mm-hmm. So we need to be reflecting on this. This is a huge prayer battle. And as David said earlier, this is, and yourself, this does reflect the signs of the times that we are in, and we need to take note of it. And I'll just end in saying, we have to really work hard at drilling down to find the facts. This is our responsibility to do that. We can so react from the hip, which the propaganda arm are doing. Immediately this week, you know, Israel were accused of firing on the food distribution new centre that's been set up with an American NGO and all the rest. And then they're accused of that. That accusation goes all the way around the world, and it's not true.
No, not at all.
We're constantly fighting this, JD and David.
Yeah, I agree totally. David, I want you to comment on this too, but before I do, I also want to let our audience know that Mark's got to be a little bit careful with what he says. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this to be true, and that is that over there right now, censorship is becoming a huge issue. People are even being having their homes raided because they put out a tweet that the government doesn't like. So, you know, I want you to comment on that, Mark, and I just want to let people know that Mark is, he's unafraid. He's really unafraid, but at the same time, he's also not stupid. So, you know, I'll leave it at that. Mark, if
that's
you want to comment on that.
That's very kind of you to put both those few words in the same sentence where I'm concerned. But the people have been arrested to tweet, putting memes and all that kind of thing. But the truth is the truth, and we have to speak about history. But even just in the last recent period, when the show goes out, we have now reached the point where if you care for your country, if you are concerned about the fact that we have an open border, if you're concerned about terrorism and all this kind of thing, e.g. you'll then be called a nationalist, and then you could be reported to what's called the Prevent Scheme, because we're afraid of your nationalistic ideology, etc., etc., which is exactly the same kind of thing that happened after January the 6th. And there's a course that's run, I think, in Washington University, that talks about domestic terrorism. When I was at the Parliament of World Religions in 2023, there was a seminar, The Rise of White Christian Nationalism and a Threat to Our Democracy. This is all being spread across, and I've got the book. I think we might have discussed this before. This is all being spread, which is, you're having wrong think because you don't believe in collectivism, you don't believe in Marxism, you don't believe in communism, and you don't believe in a one world government system, and they don't believe in the Bible and in the end Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you just for the interest of time here, because what we're going to talk about today is exactly that. You know, that we are closing in on all this, but before we go on, David, you haven't had a chance in yet, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to you now. You're muted, David. Let's see if he comes back on here. Nope, he's still
David,
talking.
David, we can't hear you.
You are
we
muted, sir. You.
Well, it was better that
back.
Way, I guess.
You're back. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I didn't want to say anything, my brother, but we need to hear you.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, it's typical I don't get to talk much when Mark's on the show, so that's fine. Like I said, I'm bilingual. I speak both British and English. So, but yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, here we are. That's the culmination of what's going on, and that's what it looks like in our realm. But as far as the Bible and the spirit is concerned, you got to ask yourself a question. You know, whose report are you going to believe, and who are you going to follow? Because at the end of the day, you know, who's going to be here in even 10 years, let alone 100 years, and let alone 1,000 years? It's going to be the Lord. So, like the apostles, they were told, oh, you cannot speak of this name of Jesus anymore. And he's like, they're like, yeah, okay. So I'm going to listen to you, or I'm going to listen to Almighty God. And they went on just, just saying it anyway. He's like, well, if you're going to lock me up. But you got to remember a few things. Yeah, there people have been persecuted over the years. We don't experience that here in America, other than you know people, you know, make fun of us. But all through the world, in like Iran, they kill you and they kill your whole family and they torture you. And in China, they'll put you in jail and take you away from your family for being a Christian. So it's our job to not whine about this stuff, but to since we are here and since we have this position and the wherewithal, it's our job to get that word out. Amen. So people not only in this country can wake up and stop being idiots, but to encourage those around the world who are, because this radio show is not only goes to 200 stations, it's shortwave. So it gets into everywhere in the world. So when these people are even, you know, in somewhere locked up, they got that little tiny thing that someone gave them and they can pull in radio shows.
Right.
You just never know. Yeah. But the Bible is real clear. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So that becomes an issue if you're going to do this. But we're at the end of the age, and I want people to understand why all of these things are happening. Yes, the Bible says they're going to happen. Yes, it does say that, you know, Israel is it's still blessed because the covenant, he put Abraham to sleep when he made the covenant, which means it's got nothing to do with what they do or how dumb they are. Okay, it has to do with God made the covenant and he's going to keep the covenant, okay, because it's all about him. And he said, this is my place, Jerusalem, and I'm using these people to demonstrate that, okay? So it's kind of irrelevant what they do because they will repent in the end. He said so. So, but he's using them, and let's face it, we wouldn't have the Bible if we didn't have Jews. We wouldn't have Jesus if we didn't have Jews.
Right.
We wouldn't have any of the morals we have today if we didn't have Jews, because there just weren't any. So, in the end, he's going to come back, and he's going to ask you a question. Did you back down because of, you just wanted to keep yourself safe, or did you stand up for the truth of the word?
Amen.
And that's it in the end. And where there's no sting of death for the Christian. You said, oh, death, where is thy sting? There just isn't any. So people are scared of death. No, it's literally, as if you're a Christian, it'll be 1 second here, the next second you're with the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
There's going to be no sting. There's going to be no sting. You know, looking forward to that day. You know, Lord willing, I'll be here when he comes back in the rapture. That's going to be really cool.
Amen.
But it'll be a personal rapture if in fact, that you know, I go beforehand. Yeah. So even Psalm 122:6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay. That's what we do every day. We pray for that peace because it's Yerushalayim. So basically it means to rain down peace. That's what Jerusalem means. Yerushalayim. Rain down peace. And it's plural. It's a dual. Im at the end. So the new Jerusalem's coming too. We got this one and we got the new one. So that's pretty cool. I want to just also say in where is it, Luke, and both in Matthew too, he talks about the end of the age. People often refer to it as for rapture stuff, but it's not. It's actually talking about Israel, Matthew 24 and Luke 21. A lot of end time prophecies are centered around Jerusalem and Israel. So basically, if we ignore what happens to Israel, we're missing key indicators of prophetic fulfillment. And then if you think that the church is just going to go bigger, better, faster, and then take over, you're sorely mistaken.
Very mistaken.
Okay? We're ambassadors of another kingdom, and we're waiting for the king to return. Yeah. I can go on, but I'm done.
Okay. Well, David, I'm going to put this up on screen real quick, but I'm going to basically skip the first two, their protests and vandalism, and also political backlash, because we've pretty much covered it. But I am going to speak to the conservative Christian viewpoint here. which is that these actions are more than mere political dissent. They signify a retreat from biblical truth. Many in the faith community point to scriptures in Genesis and Revelation that reaffirm Israel's covenant status, the defacement of Jewish symbols, and by extension, Israeli identity strikes at the heart of what conservative Christians see as a divinely appointed role for the nation in end-time prophecy. Now, I'm going to move on here real quick to part one of this. Now, this is, first of all, and David can say it correctly. I say Islamic Mahdi, and he's got the correct pronunciation. But anyway, this
Mahdi.
Yeah. So when speaking of that individual, you look at, he's supposedly a direct descendant of Muhammad through his daughter Fatima and son-in-law Ali. Now, in Shia Islam, the 12th Imam is said to have gone into whatever this is, Gaba or something, occultation, yeah, and will reappear at the end of time. And then in Sunni Islam, the belief is that the Mahdi is less central but still widespread, seen as a future leader raised by Allah to restore justice. All that sounds kind of silly to me, but
it's like the locust. You know, he hides for 7 years in a hole in the ground, and then he comes out.
Yeah, so
that's he's hiding in the hole.
But
matches the Antichrist. He's going to come out of the abyss, right?
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to point out here is that, you know, you've got Muslims. They got two versions of the same guy, right? Is that, Mark, you're the expert here. Is the reason for that the Sunnis and the Shia don't get along? Is that the core of it? Is a different understanding of this Mahdi or whatever you want to call him?
There is. It's ideology and how they then interpret their scripture, their hadiths, life of Muhammad. I think I'm going to take a right-wing turn here and say that this is deeply concerning also when we have an Iranian regime that is that close to be able to make nuclear missiles, if not, they've already done it, and then have the ability to then fire them. And we need to remember the Iranian people in our prayers, because there's some extremely wonderful people who are pointing out what's happening in that regime, who were in the country and outside, are then turning around the same when you've got 10% of the country that seem to be supporting the regime, and so that leaves a vast majority who don't. Mm-hmm. We are in a huge cleft stick here, JD, because if nuclear installations are bombed and taken out, if you can reach them, then what about the nuclear fallout from that? And when you have an ideology of people, as David is pointing out, when we believe we have the truth, they turn around and say, we do not care whether we blow up the whole world, basically, without it sounding simplistic.
Yeah.
We are then going, then off we go to our eternal life,
Shangri-La.
Their viewpoint. This is deeply concerning. And yes,
well, they actually believe they have to. That's the thing. They believe they must bring about chaos.
That's the only way
this cocoon's going to open up and the Mahdi's going to come out.
Which is where the ideological fight and disagreement within the point that you've raised, JD, comes.
Well, now I was going to point out real quick, because Mark mentioned it, you know, what's going to go on with the fallout, and I've gotten some numerous reports that the Iranian government has now started sending people out across Iran with detection devices for any kind of nuclear activity. Now, there's two reasons for that. One, Israel could use a nuclear weapon. I guess we could too, but I don't think we would. I think Israel might. That could be one reason for it. Another reason could be an attack by Israel and the United States that unleashed that type of material, as Mark was talking about. So, you know, it's just something to think about. I think Iran is kind of... I think they're hoping for it, honestly.
They're trying to bring it in.
But because, yeah, it's like David said, they're trying to bring it in. But I want to put this one up on the screen before we run out of time here in the first half. And this is the Antichrist from religion. Now, unlike, you know, being a descendant of Muhammad or whatever, the Antichrist has no defined earthly lineage. He arises from the seed. Now, that's Revelation 13:1, symbolizing the Gentile nations. Now, he's possibly from Roman or Middle Eastern origin, inferred from Daniel's people of the prince. That's Daniel 9:26. And he's a figure of lawlessness, no doubt, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, not a divine descendant. So you've got the key contrast here of this Mahdi is seen as a holy descendant sent by God. And then for us, the Antichrist is a rebellious deceiver empowered by Satan. And whenever you start looking at what they're calling for, one side wants peace, one side wants war, I'm on the side of, that the Mahdi is on the evil side, and the Antichrist is also on that evil side, but in a completely different way. I'll let you guys debate that. Start with you, David, and then we'll let Mark finish out the first half.
I mean, the short story is this. The Sunnis, they started because Muhammad died, and they're like, okay, now what? So the majority supported this Abu Bakr. And he was the first caliph, like their pope, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half said, no. It's basically Ali was the cousin and also the son-in-law. So he married the daughter because that's how they work over there. And he was a son-in-law of Muhammad, so he's divinely appointed. So that's where the break started. And then from there, they just came up with different crap along the way. All of it. So that we don't have enough time to really get into it. But that's why there's two different ones.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I'm sorry, Mark. I don't have time for you to come in here on the first half.
He's going to end us out.
We will start you in the first half of the show, but our second half of the show, I should say. But anyway, before we get there, I wanted to let everybody know, yes, every now and then we're going to ask you guys from now on, if you'll please help us and support us here to where we can continue to offer all this stuff free. And, you know, if you don't have money to give to us directly, we understand that. You can always shop with a purpose. All you've got to do is go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. And there you're going to find the conservative store. You're also going to find Everyday Dose Coffee and then Christian Book as well. So you got three great sources for stuff that you're going to buy anyway. And in buying from these places, you also support the Last Christian Radio Show. And again, we broadcast to over 160 countries worldwide. We're on we're on a lot of stations and a lot of different platforms. So we really appreciate you viewing us and listening to us. But if you can, please support us as well. We will be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there on your left and Mr. Mark Sutherland there in the center of your screen.
And wow, that was a stellar first half, I think. We didn't get into nearly what we wanted. So I got to get some coffee first.
Okay. All right. You got me some?
Hey, tell you what. You want somebody everyday dose?
Yeah.
Here you go. Here.
There we go. I got it.
Where's mine? Where's mine?
Oh, you got to go on the website and you got to order it, Mark. Just go to lastchristian.net and then click the link. Yeah. You can get your free cup as well.
That's right. That's right.
You mean as you're passing one to JD, I actually can't physically get one. Is that what you're
saying? You know what it is? You're on a different continent. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, Mark, I didn't give you an opportunity there in the first half to respond to that initial question, so I want to go ahead and give you that opportunity now.
Iran needs our prayers. The people of Iran needs our prayers. There is no, over the last, during the Biden administration, then during the, or the O'Biden, during the second, well, within the first and the second Obama administration, there had been uprising in there to try and support the Iranian people, Persian, who were pushing back and unfortunately did not get the support that they deserved. People need to just remember history where you've got John Kerry, Obama, and then facilitating the nuclear development that the Iranian regime have. And also to say, let's distinguish the Persian people. The culture, the history of Persia is extremely long and incredible, and what they have contributed to society. And I'm on this learning curve as well, because we create a difference between Persian culture and Arabic culture. That is really, really important historically. And if I've got my memories, it serves me correct, in regard to maths, we're looking at the Persian culture that created algebra, etc. So it goes this far, but there is a huge concern in regard to what the regime would wish to do. As President Trump has said, no, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon.
You know, and Mark, I hear that. I hear that all the time. You know, I get news from everywhere. You guys know that. You know, on one point, they're saying, well, you know, Trump is going to let them continue to enrich. You know, they're sure of it. They're 100%. And then Trump will come out and say, under no circumstances will I allow them to continue to enrich uranium. And there's a side on that, too. So, you know, I don't know which is true. I really don't. But coming out of the horse's mouth, he says himself he's not going to let it happen. So I'm going to take him at his word, because as far as I'm concerned, he's kind of stayed with what he said he was going to do. moving on here, though, let's look at the nature and the spiritual authority here. Now, this Makti is considered divinely guided, but not divine. I'll let Mark explain that in a minute. He will bring in global Islamic revival. He's going to enforce Sharia law and rule of justice, unite Muslims, defeat the Dajjal or something like that, the Islamic Antichrist, mm-hmm. and prepare the world for final judgment. Now, the Antichrist, he's a blasphemer of God. That's Revelation 13:6. He sets himself up as God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He's empowered by Satan, Revelation 13:2, performing lying signs and wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 10. And he demands worship and global allegiance, Revelation 13:8. Through the image of the beast, and David's talked about that, the image part there quite a bit lately. And then you've got the key contrast here. This Makti is seen as a restorer of monotheism. The Antichrist is a counterfeit Messiah who blasphemes the true God and seeks to replace Christ. So, David, I'll go with you first this time, and then you can turn it over to Mark.
The Dajjal. Well, that's not in their Quran, but it's what they called Hadith literature. It's kind of like the Talmud. It's not their scripture. It's just what the rabbis think. It's kind of mm-hmm. the same idea, the Hadith literature. But he's a human being, so he's not a demon or a jinn. That's where we get genie from, by the way. It says, oh, the genie's going to come out. It's a jinn. It's mm-hmm. basically the okay. spirit of mm-hmm. a Nephilim. Mm-hmm. That try, yeah, give me three wishes. All right, I wish for a million more wishes. So he'll claim to be divine, mm-hmm. And he mimics the role of the real Messiah. So you start to see the Revelation stuff pouring out here. They're gonna have one false Messiah that comes riding on a white horse. That's their Mahdi, and they have this. And then the Dajjal, check this out. One of his eyes is damaged. Okay, so he's gonna have that. Uh-huh. He's gonna have the letters, okay, on his forehead. Kafir, not kefir, not the fermented milk, but kafir. So he's got that thing on his forehead. That's why they got. You got to get the mark of the beast on your forehead, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's large and powerful, you know? And that's what it says. King James says he's more stout than his brothers. And I don't know why the curly hair fits in, but he's going to have curly hair, and he's going to be of Jewish origin. Mm. So the Hadith mentioned that he'll come from among the Jews. All right, so now we're looking at maybe the Mahdi is not the Antichrist, but the false prophet. And this Dajjal dude is the false Messiah because he's got to be Jewish for the Jews to accept him.
Right.
Okay. And he travels the whole earth, but he's riding a donkey. I don't know where he got that from, but not a horse. He, what else is he? Oh, brings like this paradise, but it's really hell.
Yeah.
Performs miracles. Okay, and that's another thing that the Bible says. He'll literally be able to perform miracles as if possible to even deceive the elect.
There you go.
And he will claim to be God. And he says, I am your Lord, and demand worship.
Right.
So if anyone's going to say who's the Antichrist, I would say this Dajjal dude is probably more like the Antichrist and the Mahdi, since he's proclaiming him and say, no, he's the guy. Uh-huh, he's more like the false prophet.
Uh-huh.
And he will rule for what they say he's going to rule for 40 days, a year, a month, a week. And so, yeah, how much is that? So 30? Yeah, it's going to be about 40 days. And that's what the Bible says, too. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting. So it's a lot of similarities there, mm-hmm. and enough to say, okay, this dude is probably going to be the Antichrist, and here the demons are making up this fake book called the Quran and the Hadith, and he's stealing this information out and say, oh yeah, that's the good guy. He's like, oh wait, what's the Antichrist do? Oh yeah, he's gonna do this, and he's the good guy, listen to him.
Yeah,
The main thing that's going to happen is they say he has the authority to overwrite scripture.
So whatever he says,
it supersedes the Bible, it supersedes the Quran, it supersedes anything else. So if he says, hey, it's okay to, you know, kill everybody now, and well, it supersedes the Bible, so you have to do it. That's their idea.
Mark,
ready, go.
What you got?
What David's saying is absolutely right. It's like the last testimony. No, this is what the Quran said. It supersedes all the rest. And then when you think about the Quran, think about their hadith, think about their behavior, and look at where it's coming from. Because as David said, it seems to copy a lot of things from our book, things from the Torah and Jewish history. So this is what is fascinating. But the other thing is, I'm going to throw something else, JD, a slight turn, but it's linked. I believe our nation is severely, the UK is severely under judgment. Mm. And as a friend of mine pointed out, I think it's Deuteronomy, around about 43, when it talks about, I will raise up the alien within your land. You will be trodden down, pushed down. Now, I hope I have that verse right, but it's within Deuteronomy where it's referring to this. And we see what's being laid out as a nation. If we turn away from God. Now, to some, and I would agree, I think we have agreed, we've had this sort of veneer of establishment Christianity. That veneer is literally being ripped off, and people are having to, you know, we cannot have cultural Christianity. It has to be real. And the big difference between our belief and what Islam talks about is that we are given the opportunity to have an individual personal relationship with God through Christ.
Amen.
That is the difference. Mm-hmm. Islam talks about a political ideology that is not, it means submission. It's submissive. And this is the other thing that we've got to remember. And also within that, as we are finding, we've seen that in history around the world, we're looking at the ideology of the left combining with the green axis as well, combining with the ideology of Islam. That is playing out. And there are points in history within how the Iranian, how the Khomeini came into power in 79, we look at what happened in Lebanon as well. And America, America, America. Be warned in regard to what's happening. But the problem is, we have many people asleep on your side of the pond.
Oh, yeah.
We have many people asleep on this side of the pond and in Europe. But we also have incredible people that have been sounding the alarm for a long, long time, and they have been dismissed by the mainstream media and by the propaganda arm of that, of refusal to face up to what's going on.
Yeah, well, I call them the propaganda media now. But just to follow up on what you were talking about there, let's look at the global dominion here. This Mahdi will establish a global Islamic caliphate. How many times have we heard that they were forming a new caliphate? This submits the world to the Islamic governance, and you know, everywhere they go, they invoke Sharia law. It's even here in the United States now in certain areas.
Yeah, they're trying to do it down by you.
Yeah, they are. Islam teaches that Jesus, or they call him what, Isa, will return to follow the Mahdi, confirming Islam and denying the crucifixion even happened. Destroying crosses. Now that's of course in the Muslim teachings, and I'm not going to give the name of it or anything, but anyway, the Antichrist will rule over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's according to Revelation 13:7. Will persecute true Christians and Jews, breaking any covenant he makes. That's Daniel 9:27. He will oppose the returning Jesus Christ, and is destroyed by the breath of his mouth. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:8. So the key contrast here is the Mahdi is aided by Jesus in Islam. The Antichrist is destroyed by Jesus in the Bible. The roles of Jesus are diametrically opposed. And before, I'm just going to go ahead and finish these out, and that way we can just discuss it. You got signs and deceptions here, the Mahdi, some of Hadias, suggests supernatural signs or battles. He wins miraculously. His appearance will be preceded by chaos, civil war, and social collapse. I would interject there that some of that's happening right now. The Antichrist will perform miraculous signs through the false prophet. That's Revelation 13:13. There will be fire from heaven, animated image of the beast. That's Revelation 13:15. His deception leads to eternal damnation for those who worship him. Revelation 14:9-11. The key concern for Christians, the miraculous signs surrounding the mockery may be satanic counterfeit miracles luring the world into deception. And that's what David was talking about there just a minute ago. And then you've got the theological implications here. The Islamic view is the Mahdi is a savior-like figure for Muslims, but still human. His reign marks the triumph of Islam and end-time judgment. Jesus plays a subordinate role to the Mahdi and denies Christianity as taught in the West. The biblical view here is that the Antichrist is a culmination of the rebellion against God. Jesus Christ is supreme, returns to power and glory, and judges both the Antichrist and the nations. The Antichrist's reign is brief, followed by Christ's millennial kingdom. That's Revelation 21-6. And then we've got the Christian warning here. From a biblical standpoint, the Mahdi closely mirrors the Antichrist, especially in terms of global rule, religious enforcement, and deception. And I don't know, where were we? Is it David's turn or is it Mark's turn? I think it's David's.
I think it's David's turn.
Go ahead, David.
All right, where do we want to go?
Yeah, I gave you a lot to work with there.
I just know all of this is on purpose. Let me go to the crux of the matter.
Okay.
Is that the Bible clearly says that Israel will repent as a nation, and the one-third that make it through the tribulation period will establish the millennial reign of Christ, you know, through the next 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. We as the church are the stars that Abraham saw, and then the Israel is the sand, because when he gave him the prophecy, he says, Abraham, your offspring will be as the sand of the sea. So obviously Abraham is smart enough to realize that if he starts counting all the little grains of sand, that's an awful lot of sand.
Yeah, it is.
So it's not like he was stupid that God had to say, oh, I don't get it. Oh, well, why don't you look at the stars then? Mm-hmm. Look, Abraham, look at the stars, how many there are. And, you know, just to give you an idea of how many stars there are, just the stars that we are able to detect now, there's enough for every single human being on the planet to have 11 trillion stars of their own.
Mm. Wow.
So there's an awful lot of stars to name, and he's named them all, and those are just the ones we know about.
Mm-hmm.
So he told Abraham, you'll have two sets of offspring there. It's because he wasn't stupid that he couldn't understand that's an awful lot. But he said, you're going to have an earthly one. That's the sandwiches on the seashore. So if you go to the seashore and you order sandwiches, then you'll know, okay, that's the sandwiches on the seashore that Abraham was told about his offspring. But also have the stars in the heavens. So the church, as the bride, is going to rule and reign in the heavenlies with Christ. But Israel is going to rule and reign on the earth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to see that, you know, all the satanic cults and the UFO cults, they know that there's going to be the rapture. Every single one of them talks about this disappearance that happens,
mm-hmm.
but those are the people that they're not enlightened, so they're going to be taken to re-education camp somewhere in space. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to them. But they're already preparing their people for the disappearance of the church. We're going to rule in the heavenlies, but then Israel is going to be brought through that. And at such a time, they're going to rule on the earth from Israel. Jesus is going to be the king in Jerusalem. And by the way, you better listen or you don't get any rain. That's a problem. Mm. So
yeah, for real.
If then Satan can thwart that plan and destroy all of Israel, because at this point he knows the church isn't going to be here, so he can't do anything about the church. He could just destroy your witness. But the church isn't going to be here. But if somehow he can destroy Israel, then the prophecy won't come true, and he thinks then he can take over. That's why all this stuff is going on. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mark, what do you got?
I think the number one thing is, and I'm speaking to myself, is that we have to be really aware and study scripture in regard to this subject avidly, on what is coming down the line. I think Jesus warned us and said, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And we would agree that deception is off the charts out there in so many ways.
I just put it up on screen there, Mark. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but it's 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. I just wanted to put that up there for everybody on screen, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
No, JD, not at all. And I'll just say this. What deeply concerns me on your side of the pond and on my side of the pond, because I talk to people, is this whole thing of replacement theology, not an understanding of where we are at, not an understanding of God's heart in regard to Israel, in regard to Jerusalem. And that deeply saddens me. But this is what we are facing. And of course, with the events that are playing out in Israel now, how they are twisted through the propaganda machine, that doesn't help. And I would also say to people, urge them that actually to try and really understand how Israel came about, the history of that politically and all the rest, from around about 1885, from pogroms in Russia right up to this day, that will then help you as well. And also to bear in mind, from the dispersal where the tribes go into the rest of the world, the pogroms that had happened to them, the attack that they have had as a people group. Of course, we look at the Holocaust. We are also surrounded by people, some people that deny those events, etc., etc. We really have to study this and make sure that we understand the history of it, because we have to push back. And also that there is no time for anyone to be sitting back on their laurels and just say, well, we just have to wait for various events to turn out. We may view, this is all in God's hands. As I've said before, if we imagine a load of cogs and there's a small cog in the middle, and the small cog is how God controls everything, he turns that maybe half a degree to the right, and all these big cogs are lurking to the right, turn it the other way, and then lurking to the left. That's why it's like being diligent. We look at what's happening in the real world, but what is Scripture saying? And we have to be diligent and at any opportunity to tell people, you ain't going to get through anything unless you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't say that tritely. I don't say that because sometimes it's not easy for people to share their faith. The folk don't find that easy. But we have to do it. It's one of the reasons why we're having this discussion. But there's counterfeit deception, counterfeit deception. And that is what we have to push back on.
Well, you know, one thing I want to point out here real quick is the Bible is older than Islam. You know, if you don't believe me on that, all you got to do is look it up. It's not hard. So whenever you see this discussion about the Antichrist, and then you see the discussion about this Mahdi, remember that the Mahdi discussion came a long time after the Bible. I'm going to show one more slide here real quick. This is just a summary where you can see, and as a matter of fact, we're not even going to spend any real time on it here, but I encourage you guys, if you are not watching us in visual form, go to lastchristian.net, that's lastchristian.net, and then go to the last 7-8 minutes of the show, and you can see this summary comparison, which does compare this Mocti to the Antichrist, and you'll see that there is a very close resemblance between the two of them that, David, you have pointed out in the past, and I'll let you finish the show with that.
Okay, well, what part? There's so
well,
much.
I mean, you know, this well, okay, all right. In fairness, I'm going to put this up instead. Okay, because this is really what's really, really important here. Okay, and that's
okay. Good.
You know, if you haven't received Christ, you need to. David, well, you want to go
all the way back to the basics. Yeah.
You want to go through the ABCs with them out there and let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contract that that Jesus had. We had the original contract of death. The wages of sin is death. That's simple. Okay. Now, because it's a contract with man, Jesus had to become a man in order to pay off that debt, so you don't have to pay it off anymore.
Amen.
And since it's paid by him, you know, you can't have double jeopardy. You can't be going back and saying, oh, any of these sins. No, it's all paid off, and you can't be tried for it again. And that's kind of where we're at. But there's a problem with that, okay, because if you don't admit you're a sinner, right? In other words, the Bible tells us agree with your adversary along the way. So some people are like, what do you mean agree with my adversary? He's trying to do this and that and the other. No, Satan goes around as the prosecutor, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He says, right. Here, your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we think, okay, he's trying to eat somebody. No, okay, that's what it really means in the language here is he's got a case against you that he's bringing to devour you in the courts of heaven. And
right.
Saying, look, David, Mark, JD, look at these things that I have against him. He's a sinner. He deserves death. That's what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so if that's the case, if you say, well, no, I'm not a sinner, well, then the blood of Jesus that he paid for says, oh, okay, well, then this contract is no good for you. And the blood of Jesus didn't pay off your sins. But if you admit that you're a sinner, now you can say, but I have this new contract that said this was paid off. It's already been adjudicated by the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you cannot bring this case against me anymore. All right? You can't do it. And therein lies the power of admitting your sins. It's not because God's just, you know, he wants to make fun of you and have you all your sins. No, you have to go before the throne of God and say, yes, I did do that. And he says, fantastic, that's been paid for. But if you go before God and say, look how wonderful I am, you know, I'm not like that guy over there. We know the story. Then he says, okay, well, then this contract doesn't apply to you, but then Satan's going to go to court and prove you're a sinner, and now you got to go pay for your sins, which is death.
Yeah.
So you got to admit that you're a sinner in order for Jesus to be able to adjudicate that and pay it off with his blood. Okay.
Amen.
Then you have to confess that. You got to believe and you got to confess. Okay, I trust this contract. So I go before the court of heaven and I said, I got this blood contract. So when we say plead the blood, that's what it means. It's the I plead the blood over a new car. No, if I'm pleading this contract that says I am saved, delivered, and healed, okay? And then just like any court case, you have to confess it. So I confess that I accept this contract that the blood of Christ is paying for me, and I love the Lord of God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I love my neighbor as myself. I agree. If you don't do that, then you still have to pay for your own sins. If you do that, then your sins are paid for and you can come to heaven with us. And it's going to be awesome. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. Have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.